Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, if your business relies on moving large amounts of data securely, using a managed file transfer solution, then you really need to listen up today. We're looking at a maximum severity vulnerability, and this isn't theoretical. It's being actively exploited right now. The attackers, Storm 1175, a cybercrime group deploying Medusa ransomware. So our mission here is to perform a really precise analysis of this flaw, CVE 2025-17035. It affects Fortra's Go Anywhere MFT platform. We're going beyond just the patch. We're digging into the exact methods, the TTPs these attackers are using, and crucially, what you can do to defend against it.
Yeah, and maybe just to set the stage, it's worth quickly saying why these MFT, these managed file transfer systems, are such big targets. I mean, these are the pipelines, the secure heavy-duty pipelines, moving an organization's most sensitive data. We're talking financials, intellectual property, PII, patient records, you name it, often between internal systems, external partners. So when an attacker gets control of the MFT, they've basically bypassed a ton of security layers.
They're right at the heart of the data flow.
Exactly. Direct access to the crown jewels. It's a huge prize for them.
Okay, so let's unpack the vulnerability itself. CVE 2025-1035. The description calls it a critical deserialization of untrusted data weakness. Sounds pretty
It
serious.
is serious. It's actually one of the most dangerous types of flaws out there.
What does that mean in like simple terms?
Okay, think of it like this. When systems need to send or store complex information, they often serialize it. Turn it into a stream of bytes, like packing it in a box. Deserialization is unpacking that box, taking the bytes and rebuilding the original information. The problem here is trust. This part of Go Anywhere, the license servlet, it was basically unpacking boxes it received from outside without checking the contents carefully enough.
So the attackers send a malicious box.
Precisely. They craft a stream of bytes that, when the system tries to unpack and rebuild it, isn't harmless data. It's actually an instruction, tells the server. Run my code.
Oof, remote code execution.
And because this flaw has the highest severity rating, it's easy to exploit low complexity and, crucially, requires zero user interaction. That makes it incredibly attractive for attackers, perfect for automation.
And the timeline here really underscores the urgency. Fortra got the patch out on September 18th, 2025. But the exploitation started before that, as a zero day. Around September 10th, Microsoft confirmed Storm 1175 activity around the 11th.
And that gap, that 8-day gap, that's the critical piece of intelligence here.
An 8-day head start.
Exactly. For 8 days, attackers were hitting systems, and security teams literally could not patch it. There was no patch yet. It just hammers home that relying only on vendor patches isn't enough. You're exposed. What defenses did you have before the patch arrived? That's the real question.
And this wasn't just a few systems. The potential exposure was huge.
Yeah, the Shadow Server Foundation found over 500 Go Anywhere MFT instances visible on the internet. It's a massive attack surface just waiting there during that 0-day window.
Wow. Okay. So that brings us to the group taking advantage of this. Storm 1175, tracked by Microsoft, known Medusa ransomware affiliate. What do we know about them?
Well, they're sophisticated and fast. Their history shows they jump on newly disclosed vulnerabilities really quickly. They don't mess around with old stuff.
Like what? Any examples?
Back in July 2024, they were seen hitting a VMware ESXi authentication bypass flaw. They used that access to deploy Akira and Black Bastard ransomware.
Okay, so they work with the different ransomware crews.
Seems like it. They act as an affiliate, likely focusing on getting that initial access efficiently. Then they leverage whichever ransomware payload makes sense, probably based on payout potential or ease of deployment. They're definitely top-tier initial access brokers.
Gotcha. So let's walk through their playbook for this attack, the Go Anywhere MFT campaign. They get in using the deserialization flaw, initial access dot check. That's step two.
Persistence.
Yeah.
Immediately. And they do it cleverly using legitimate tools.
Legitimate tools, like what?
Remote monitoring and management tools, or RMMs specifically, Simple Help and Mesh Agent. These are tools IT admins use every day for remote support and management.
So they install tools that look like normal IT activity.
Exactly. It's a classic living off the land technique. They create this covert backdoor, and the traffic it generates just blends in with all the normal, legitimate RMM traffic.
Which security teams probably aren't scrutinizing too closely.
Often that traffic is whitelisted or just gets minimal attention because it's supposed to be there. So the malicious persistence hides right in the noise. Very sneaky.
Okay, persistence established. What comes next? Mapping the network.
Reconnaissance and lateral movement. They launch those RMM tools, and then they deploy another tool called NetScan.
A network scanner.
Yep. They start aggressively scanning the internal network, looking for valuable systems, checking user privileges, finding accounts, gathering intel.
And once they find what they want, how do they move?
Nothing too exotic here. Mm-hmm. They use the standard Microsoft Remote Desktop Connection Client, RDP. Just hop from machine to machine using credentials they've likely found or harvested.
Standard, but effective if you have the credentials.
Definitely. And all this sets up the final stages, getting the data out and then locking things down.
Exfiltration and encryption.
Right. For exfiltration, they use another legitimate tool, rclone.
rclone, isn't that used for managing cloud storage?
It is. It's a command line tool for syncing files with cloud services like S3, Google Drive, etc. Very useful for admins.
But Storm 1175 uses it to steal data.
Correct. They use rclone to copy large amounts of sensitive data out of the victim's network and into storage they control.
And that's the setup for the double exportion.
Exactly. Step one, steal the data with rclone. Step two, threaten to leak it publicly if the ransom isn't paid. Then, after the data is safely exfiltrated, they deploy the actual Medusa ransomware payload to encrypt the victim's files locally.
Brutal. And efficient. So, Storm 1175 executes this attack chain successfully, and they're feeding victims into the larger Medusa ransomware operation, which, as you mentioned, is a significant threat, especially to critical infrastructure.
Absolutely. This isn't just some small-time operation. We have official warnings about Medusa. Remember that CISA, FBI, and multi-state ISAC advisory from March 2025.
I do? What did it say again?
It warned that Medusa had already hit over 300 critical infrastructure organizations just in the U.S. 300. Think about that. Healthcare, utilities, finance, sectors we all rely on.
300 is a staggering number. How do they achieve that kind of scale? It can't just be one group doing everything?
No, it's the ransomware as a service model. RAISES. That's the engine here.
Ah, the franchise model for cybercrime.
Pretty much. You have the core Medusa developers. They create and maintain the ransomware code, the leak sites, the payment infrastructure, the whole toolkit. Then they rent or sell access to this toolkit to affiliates, groups like Storm 1175.
And the affiliates do the actual hacking.
Right. The affiliates handle the specialized work. Finding the way and, like, exploiting this go-anywhere vulnerability, doing the recon, moving laterally, stealing the data, deploying the payload. They take on the operational risk.
And the core team takes a cut of the profits.
Usually, yeah. Often a significant percentage, maybe 20-30% of any successful ransom. The affiliate keeps the rest. It's a very efficient division of labor. It lowers the barrier to entry for skilled hacking groups like Storm 1175. They don't need to build their own ransomware. They just need to be good at breaking in. And it lets the Medusa brand scale rapidly.
Which leads to, well, 300 critical infrastructure victims and counting.
Exactly. It amplifies the threat significantly.
Okay. Given how active this is and the potential damage, let's shift hard to mitigation. Yeah. If you're running Go Anywhere MFT, what do you need to be doing right now, especially considering that zero-day window?
Urgency is key. First things first. Patch immediately. Upgrade every single Go Anywhere MFT instance to the latest patched version. Treat it like an emergency change. No delays.
Okay, patch immediately. But what about potential compromise before the patch, during that 8-day window?
You have to hunt. Proactively look for signs of compromise. Fortra and Microsoft gave specific guidance here. Check your Go Anywhere log files.
What are we looking for in the logs?
Look for stack trace errors that contain a specific string, signobject.getObject. According to Fortra, seeing that string is a strong indicator of an exploitation attempt or maybe even a successful breach.
Got it. Signobject.getObject.
And then leverage the TTP intel we just discussed. We know they use specific tools post-exploitation.
Simple help, mesh agent, NetScan, rclone.
Exactly. So you need to hunt for any unexpected or unauthorized presence of those tools on your MFT server or anywhere else they might have moved laterally. Did Simple Help or Mesh Agent suddenly appear where they shouldn't be? Is NetScan running unexpectedly? Are there logs showing rclone activity transferring data out?
That sounds challenging, though, especially with the RMM tools blending in. Which brings us back to defense in depth. What broader strategies help defend against this kind of attack chain, even if another zero-day pops up?
Right. You need layers. Application allow listing, sometimes called application control, is a big one here.
How does that help?
It basically says only explicitly approved software can run on this server. If NetScan and rclone aren't on your approved list for the MFT server, then even if the attacker gets initial access, they simply cannot launch those tools. It breaks the attack chain right there.
Okay, that stops the recon and exfiltration tools.
Mm.
What about the lateral movement using RDP?
Network segmentation. It's fundamental. Even if the attacker compromises the MFT server itself, good segmentation prevents them from easily jumping from that server to, say, your financial systems or your core databases.
Contain the breach.
Exactly. They might get the initial foothold, but they're stuck in a limited zone. It drastically reduces the potential impact.
And finally, what about those RMM tools, like Simple Help and Mesh Agent? Since companies often need RMMs, how do you handle the risk?
Enhanced monitoring focused on behavior and anomalies. Don't just allow us to RMM tools and forget about them.
Meaning?
Monitor how they're being used. Who launched the RMM tool? When? What process did it launch? Where did it connect to? If your legitimate RMM tool suddenly starts executing unusual command line scripts, or tries to launch R clone, or initiates massive outbound data transfers, that's not normal admin activity.
Yeah.
That needs to trigger a high priority alert.
So monitor the tool's behavior, not just its presence.
Precisely. And one more basic thing. Really question if your NFT platform needs to be directly exposed to the internet. If it absolutely must be, then lock it down tightly. Use IP address allow listing, enforce multi-factor authentication, put it behind a web application firewall, add layers.
Don't make it an easy target sitting out there.
Please don't. Reduce that attack surface as much as humanly possible. Hashtag tag outro.
Okay, this has been a critical deep dive. Key takeaways for me are the sheer speed, that 8-day, 0-day window is terrifying, and the effectiveness of using legitimate IT tools to hide.
Yeah, that living off the land aspect is huge.
And connecting that to the known scale of Medusa Reis hitting critical infrastructure, it's a potent threat.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And maybe the final thought to leave folks with based on this, Storm 1175's whole attack chain really hinged on turning trusted tools against the victim.
Mm-hmm.
RMMs for persistence, R-clone for exfiltration. Tools meant for administration became weapons.
Right.
So it forces a really tough question for defenders. How do you adjust your security posture, your monitoring, your fundamental trust models, when the biggest threats might be hiding inside the very software you rely on for daily operations? It suggests we maybe need to stop thinking of legitimate software as inherently safe software. We need to scrutinize the behavior of everything, even the trusted tools, much more closely. Are they doing what they're supposed to be doing, or something else?
A fundamental shift towards behavioral analysis, even for known good tools. That's definitely something to chew on. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.